Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? What's going on, people? It's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp. We finally reached November. November 3rd, 2022. Welcome to the off ramp, a show for the people by the people that embodies the people. It's a show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. He was popping in your streets. He was popping in my streets. The streets all over America and the world, man. See what kind of information that you have gained throughout the week that you want to share. You want to laugh about, you want to cry about, you want to argue about, or if you just want to discuss and get other people's opinions. So feel free to call into the off ramp 929-477-3975. You can hook us up. You can catch us on all the social media platforms, except TikTok. I ain't got one of them yet. Or I should say we ain't got one of them yet, but should be coming soon. Not really on there too heavy, but try to update it as much as I can. We'll get better with that as time goes on. We've been on here for about 7 years, and I ain't done it yet. So, you know, maybe one of these days. But without any further ado, I want to welcome my man Blur into the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp. How you holding up tonight?
Oh, man, I'm great, man. Feeling good, looking good. Blessed and highly favored. Glad to be here as always. I'm actually in my office right now, still doing some billing, trying to make sure we get paid.
Oh, you at the office working still?
Yeah, man, got to get these invoices off. Can't get paid if I don't send the bills out.
Hey, I'm with you. Yeah, it's been a long work week for me, man. My whole household is sick. I don't know if y'all can tell, but like even I'm still really stuffed up. So excuse me if I cough or snort. I'll try to mute myself as we go. But, man, my whole house got hit with the flu bug. We ain't had the flu. I used to never get a flu shot until I got married. DJ C. Siren's on the actual work call, too, as well. So I never used to get the flu shot. Then I got married, and then she was like, you need to get the flu shot because you smoke too many cigars, you drink too much. Like, even though you work out in spurts and used to be an athlete, you ain't in that good shape, you're overweight, we need to get the flu shot. I was like, cool. So I started getting it and still never had the flu. I don't think I've ever had the flu. Well, at least diagnosed had the flu. So DJ C signed about 2.5 weeks ago. Now, mind you, my job, even though I'm back in the office like 4 days a week, I still get one telework day, but I'm lucky enough I have my own office. So my office is in the cut, overlooks the football stadium. I picked this office out perfectly because nobody wanted it because it was the small office. Like, everybody was like, oh, it's the small office, we don't want that. I said, give me that joint. Why? Because it's away from everyone else's office. It overlooks the football stadium. I can see the kids practicing if I just take a peek out my window. So, and I explain all that just because even when I'm going to work, I'm still pretty isolated. Like, you got to get through, like, security doors to get to me and all that stuff. So, and I still wear my mask at work. And I ain't been really sick in a couple of years. But then DJ C. Siren, she works in a grocery store as a pharmacist. She sells drugs every day. She's with people every day. And about a week and a half ago, like, you know when you hear that cough, that's just different. Like, you know when you hear a cough where it sounds like allergies or something might have got got caught in your throat, pause. But you know, when you hear that cough and it sounds like there's nothing but fluid in your lungs. And she had one of them coughs. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, you're sick, sick. And she was like, nah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I was like, well, either way, I ain't sleeping with you. So, like, I started sleeping on the couch. I told my son, don't kiss your mother goodnight. Nothing. Sure enough, it took about 2 days. And she was full-blown sick. But she fought through it. She a champ. I was trying to make sure she was good. But I was like, I'm still not sleeping with you. I got to stay away from you. Didn't matter. We in the same house. So last week, well, probably, and this is where karma gets you. So like Friday, like, you know, my sick days expire at the end of the year. I don't know how yours does, Blur. And I know it's a long story, but we got time. My sick days expires at the end of the calendar year. So being that it's November, I was like, man, I still got mad sick days left because I don't get sick. I was like, let me start scheduling some sick days, some fake doctor's appointments. So Friday, I was like, well, it's a Friday. DJ, she's siren off. Maybe we can go see Black Adam. I'm going to schedule off. I'm going to just call in sick. So it's call in sick. But when I woke up Friday, I was like, oh, I got a little something in my chest. But I was like, ah, maybe I'll get a little run and work it out, you know, work it off. Saturday, I was like, oh, I'm still okay. Sunday, like, I had two big flag football games to coach, and I woke up coughing. I said, oh, shit. I was like, all right, maybe it's just allergies. You know, it's been nice. Monday, I woke up. Yo, I thought I was going to faint. It's been a long time since I thought I was just going to, like, pass out. And it wasn't from drinking or being high. Like, Blur, I know you don't get high, but for any of the listeners, you know how, like, sometimes you get high and your head just feels like you're so high you feel like you got to pass out. That's how I felt Monday. Like, I couldn't do anything. And I was like, man, like, I'm really sick, sick. I was like, but I'm going to just, you know, kick it at the crib. That's my telework day. And then Monday night, and I was like, I'm trying to avoid my son, you know, DJ Cesar, she's the one who got me sick, so I was like, fuck her, right? So then Monday night, my son coughs, and I was like, fuck, not him too. And I feel terrible, so I can't do nothing. I'm like, yo, bro, you got to survive for the night. So Tuesday, I wake up, I realize I'm sick, but I'm starting to feel better. Like, Monday was the worst day. So get through Tuesday, and then next thing I know, son comes home like, yeah, I ain't right, Dad. Took him to the docs today. Took him out of school yesterday. Took him to the docs today. Boy, got flu and influenza A1. Come to find out, it's the shit that ran through Australia. How the fuck did it get to Virginia? So my kid, Earl in the day, got a fever, like he got it worse than both of us. Well, I don't know if I had a fever. I guess I might have. I don't really check, but it's been bad for my house the last couple weeks, Blur.
Hey man, sorry to hear that, man. I know it's rough when the whole house gets sick. That's unfortunately how things go, though. With a family, man, once one person gets sick, just run through the house. But I guess that's a good thing, though, too, because like, everybody gets sick all at once. I mean, once it's cleared up, it's done. It ain't going to be like, I mean, it ain't going to be like, all right, somebody get better, then a week later somebody else gets sick. Everybody go through it at once or close to once, and then once it's done, it's done.
But it's one thing if the whole family got sick, like, a day after each other, and we can all be miserable together. Like, DJ C. Siren was sick for a week, and then she started to feel better. Then I got sick. Then I started to feel better. Now my son is sick. It's like three consecutive weeks. Like, if it could have happened where DJ Siren was sick on Monday and then I got sick on Wednesday and Julius got sick on Friday and we could have cleared this shit up in a week and a half, it would have been great. But it's like the third week in my house where somebody's sick. And this shit is just ridiculous, man. But, you know, what can you do? It's that time of the year. They said they predicted it. I didn't even know. Did you even know that we look, because Australia is their seasons are their winter season comes before us. America looks to see how their flu season goes, compare and predicts that's what happens to us. Did you know that?
I don't see the correlation. Like, how?
So apparently they knew this A1 influenza virus was going to be bad in America, because apparently everybody's getting, like, I mean, it's funny because I'm real stringent about my son and him getting sick, where I don't put him in school just because I don't want nobody to bring their kid to school. But I also know I'm in a privileged position where if I just tell my boss, like, yo, I got to stay home. Like I said, I ain't really been to work in a week. Today was my first day. Hey, watch your background noise, too blur. Today was my first day back to the office since I was there last Thursday. Because Friday I called in sick, wasn't really sick. But, you know, I did feel something, no bullshit, but I had planned on calling in sick anyway. Monday was my telework day, so I was home anyway, but I was really sick. And then Tuesday I was sick. Wednesday I was sick. Today I felt okay and DJC siren was off, so I went into work. And then tomorrow I got to stay home because my son's diagnosed with the flu and my wife got to work. So, like, I'm blessed to have one of them type of jobs where my boss is like, yo, are you okay? But then she'll, like, call me on the phone. She's like, oh, yeah, you sound like shit. And I'm like, I'm not bullshitting. Like, you know, I space my sick days out. Like, if I wanted a week off, I'd just take a week off. So what American Health Society does is, because Australia has basically the same type of demographic, you know, they're British Columbia settlers and all that stuff, and they have the same, you know, type of people that we got. The flus that hit there, because they're starting to go into their summer months, which I gotta visit Australia, I guess, in February, because that's probably the dope time to be down there. But because when they hit their fall to winter months, they track how many people get the flu and which virus gets the flu. And part of that goes into whatever they decide to vaccine here. So me, DJC Siren, and Lord Julius was scheduled to get our vaccines this week for the flu that he actually caught, that we all caught. But we were just a week late, and it's just crazy. Now, you don't know if we got the flu virus, if we got the flu vaccine, we still would have got, you know, sick. You know what I mean? Kyrie Irving's out here tell you don't get nothing. But it's crazy that I never knew that, you know, us in Australia are basically, like, Australia's like 4 months ahead of us. It's like time travel.
I still don't get the correlation, so I'm going to go with time travel. I'm just going to go in and co-sign that. That must be it. Because I don't see how their season or cold season affects us here in the U.S., but, I mean, there's a lot of things I don't know.
Yeah, look, man, I don't quite get it anyway, I guess, because just like COVID, you know, once they had a confirmed case in China, they basically said, hey, it's only a matter of time before it gets here. I guess you don't really realize how many people travel through the world a day. Like, you would think, oh, Australia has a real bad influenza. Lock down Australia, don't let nobody out of the country for 2 weeks, and it'll just be gone. But that stops so much money that the world as a global economy, like, you just can't have that anymore. Like, there's no way we can stop a – man, who got hurt? Was that cops? Yup. There's no way we can have a virus not travel through the world globally anymore. Unless it's like on one of them islands where, like, those native people are still shooting arrows at helicopters. Like they, but they still got like simple diseases that they can't get rid of. So it's just crazy. Well, you know, I didn't want to go too deep and too long in the story, but yeah, man, my whole house got this fucking flu, man. It's crazy. Thought we would have had a cure for this shit by now.
Nah, man. The money ain't in the cure. The money's in the treatments.
See, I think that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. But we'll have that discussion. I got my man New York, New York in the building. My man New York, New York. You fight sickness too, man. How you holding out, my brother?
Man, this shit mad annoying. And I have places to be this weekend. This shit mad annoying. Motherfucking congestion all up, coughing every second, can't even be in meetings no more, you know what I mean? All this, like, I can't even clear my throat, pause if necessary, like, it's crazy, it's crazy. It's such a, being sick is such an inconvenience, like, nah, this shit really scuffed my Timbs, yo. This shit really scuffed my Timbs.
Now, I ask this question now. Do you know where you got sick at?
The crazy thing is, I don't know. I do know that I went out to a bar crawl on Saturday for Halloween, but still, like, for the last 2 days, I've been falling asleep with my window open, too, though. So I don't know, but I mean, I think it's definitely the bar crawl, though. It might be the bar crawl.
Yeah, I love black people. See, this is why I still love Kyrie Irving, you know, because you just gotta love black people. You just said you went out to a bar crawl on Halloween. Now, you talking about mad shots, mad smoke, mad people, hookah, dancing, partying. And you said, but I don't know. I slept with the window open. What do you think is the more likely reason for you to get sick? It's got to be the bar crawl. You should even imagine the window being open.
Look, as long as the blame is not on me, I'll go and blame it on other people. Look, bar crawl, whatever it is, yay. I take advantage, bro. I mean, not take advantage. I take accountability for that, but, I mean, it also could be possible. It could be possible. I don't know how many degrees it drop at night. You know what I mean? Sleeping with the window open. I'll be shivering.
You don't get a cold from cold air. You get a cold from viruses. That's facts.
You got a point. I can't even argue that.
Wait, hold up. Now, that makes sense. I ain't going for it. That makes sense. Like, all right, cold air don't get cold. A virus do. But common sense or just human nature, like, if you go outside without a coat on in the wintertime, you're going to catch a cold. Like, if you go outside by yourself and there's no just airborne virus just around, you're just in your backyard chilling, you're going to catch a cold. Where'd the virus come from?
See, that's black people theory. It's not – okay, it makes sense in my head, too, because I'm black. I've been raised around nothing but black people. My family is black. It makes sense. I know what y'all saying. But if we think about this logically, if cold air causes sickness, then no one would ever be able to live in cold weather states.
Like, I mean, yo, you govern yourself accordingly. Like, you put a coat on. You put a jacket on, so your body temperature isn't just, like, always cold. Like, you cover up to protect yourself from the cold weather, from the cold air.
So when the window's open, you're not covered up in a blanket and warm?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in the room with that man, so I don't know.
But okay, New York, New York, was you covered up? No homo?
Pause. Yeah, well, definitely. Like, not really, but I mean, I had the comforter on. My comforter is, like, made out of Sherlin, so, I mean, I thought I was good. But it's been for, like, 2 days, though.
See, I'm telling you, y'all, it doesn't make sense. Like, us as black people have been conditioned to think that cold air hitting our lungs causes disease, but it doesn't. Like, you know what I mean? Or every time we would turn on the air conditioner, we would get sick. It doesn't make any sense, yo. It's just viruses, yo. Now, I believe viruses travel in the air longer in cooler weather. I don't know how much of a fact, or I don't know if that's fake news or not. So, you know, you could be breathing air, a virus that's been living in the air longer than you would in a 100-degree weather. But it ain't just because it's, like, under 50 degrees. You know what I mean? Or half of Alaska would die every year. But all right, we got a lot to talk about tonight. It's been a lot happening this week. I mean, we had Halloween. Yeah, let's start with some nice, good stuff, man. Blur, what'd you do for Halloween?
I went to some people, my people's crib, who got kids. We sat outside around the bonfire, handed out candy, listened to music, talk-ish. We chopped it up.
Hey, so your son's in college, my nephew. Shout out to my nephew. Did you ask him what he did in what he did for Halloween?
Yeah, man. Him and his friends, they all went to somebody's room and had a movie marathon.
Hold on, before you explain, that yeah, man, sounded like he was disappointed.
No, it's funny. I asked him. You know, he's at art school, so he was expecting. He actually came home like a week or so ago, so we hung out a little bit, and he was telling me he was expecting. Like, yo, these are a bunch of artistic people. It's like artsy people. He was expecting them to, like, do it big with Halloween parties and, like, really have for all these people who do, like, drawing and paintings and all this stuff to, like, go all out. He was trying to have stuff made and fabricated and everything, trying to get into his cosplay bag. And he found out that the school, like, none of the people he knew at the school was doing anything like that. So, I mean, they did a... Ordered some pizzas, some wings, and had a horror movie marathon night.
Who?
Horror movie marathon.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch horror movies. Oh, he didn't. He actually dropped that. They're going to review that. He dropped that. I don't watch horror movies. But, okay, but, yeah, we got to get nephew out there with the chicks with no clothes on. Halloween is for his age, is where the chicks get a chance to be sexy. He got to figure that out. New York, what'd you do? I know you told us about the bar crawl. Were you doing anything else?
Nah. Yeah, it was just a bar crawl for the Halloween weekend. That was really just it, to be honest with you. You know, I'm getting old now. I mean, I can't hang out with these young whippersnappers no more. Can't keep up.
Okay. I was sick, so I ain't do nothing. Yo, and I'll tell you what, you gotta start making decisions for your kids, because, like, I was sick, but my son was still feeling fine at the time. He got dressed up, and I felt so bad, because he done wore the same Halloween costume for the last 3 years, yo, and that joint gets smaller and smaller on him. But he's a football player, so it's supposed to be, you know, supposed to look tight. So it never looks bad because he's a football player, but it looked bad. Like, when he got dressed, it was like, all right, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So he was like, so what are we going to do for Halloween, Dad? What time are we going out? And I felt, like I said, I felt faint. And I was like, yeah, you have to go out on your own. But yeah, I was ready to send my son out in the streets. At 9 years old, Dolo, with a bag, he's like, yo, you just got to do what you got to do. Just remember how you get home, yo. But thank God I got lucky enough where, you know, some of his friends in the neighborhood and one of my homegirls, his teammate, his mom called and was like, yo, we pulling up. And I was like, look, you got to hand out candy because I feel awful. And whatever the kids do, what the kids do. Because DJ C-Sire was at work. So I last saw my kid about 5 p.m. when he got dressed. I wished him good luck. And next thing I know, DJ C-Sire was like, yeah, she told everybody to leave about 9:15. So I ain't do nothing. My Halloween was awful. But, you know, I got to play some video games and lay on the couch sick. Oh, hold on. So this is what I'm going to discuss. That's why the reason why I named this show was Time to Call Earl. Yo, I'll ask you, New York, because you don't have kids. I know Blair has, but I want to know, like, when I'll get to that question. But, New York, have you ever, like, cleaned up, like, an adult's throw-up?
Yes, and I would hate to do it again. I always hate to do it, and I don't want to do it, but I hate to do it because I'm one of the people that if I see throw up or I look at throw up or I smell throw up, I would throw up too. I hate doing it.
What about you, Blair? When's the last time you cleaned somebody's throw up?
Oh, man, I'm trying to think. I don't even remember. I'm assuming it was mine. I don't remember the last time I threw up, though.
But what about your son? Like, did your son ever get sick and he threw up and you had to clean it up? But, like, when he was older, not like a baby.
Nah, not as he's been older. Like, I mean, we teach that real early when you notice the signs of about to throw up and how to get to the bathroom. Like, I mean, or get you a bucket, like. Yeah, I teach the warning signs real early so you can pick up on them.
Okay. Because the reason why I brought it up is because, again, not to beat the dead horse, but my son's sick. So today was the first day. My son don't, like, nobody in our house really, really gets sick often, especially since COVID, because we all wear masks. So once he got diagnosed with the flu, he kept saying his stomach was hurting. I was like, yo, you probably got to take a shit, but, you know, if you got to throw up, there's a trash can 2 feet away from you. If you can make it to the bathroom, make it to the bathroom, throw up in the toilet. But I didn't realize that he doesn't really know how to throw up because he doesn't get sick, and he hasn't really thrown up since he was like a baby. Bruh, so the first time he, like, started throwing up, he made it to the bathroom. But you know when you throw up, you're supposed to, even though you take a shit in there and take a piss in there, because it's throw up and it's vile, you're supposed to put your face by the bowl to lessen the splash. Like, the splash zone needs to be minimal on the throw up. My son was standing straight up. Bruh, there was throw up all over the sides.
Wait, was this his first time? This ain't his first time throwing up, right?
This isn't, I mean, he's thrown up as a baby, like eating formula, spit up, and all that stuff. Even when he was like an infant, like, you know, he had like a little stomach thing, and he would throw up milk. You know, we had to, you know, get him Pedialyte and all that stuff. But since he's been about, I'd say about 4 years old, like, he hasn't thrown up. Like, he's never been that sick. Like, he's had colds, but he's never been, like, he's never really had, like, a bad, like, stomach virus. The worst thing he get is diarrhea. So this is, like, the first time that he's, like, been able, like, to talk and express himself and, like, could not hold his, like, stomach contents. So I hear him go to the bathroom, and I hear the throw up, right? But I hear him, like, struggling to, like, not throw up. So I run in there like, no, you got to let it out. Like, you have to relax. It's crazy to, like, and this is the, because I only have the one child, like, you don't realize you got to explain this shit to your kids. Like, this is the stuff that you don't realize you got to do. Like, I'm trying to teach him, like, yo, you can't try to hold the throw up in. Like, it's coming out. Like, you have no choice. This is one of the few things in the world that you don't have a choice in. It's best to just let it happen. I run in there because I hear him, like, trying to struggle, and I'm like, yo, just relax, just relax. Just let it come out. Just let it come out. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. And then when I turn the corner because he's in the bathroom, I see he's, like, standing straight up and, like, just aiming his mouth at the toilet. And then I just see, like, stuff everywhere, yo. And New York, I'm like, yo, I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm going to Earl. So I do it every, you know, but I'm a G, though. I'm from Jersey, you know, so I do what every gangster does. I call my wife and tell her she got to come get them. So she get them together, clean up everything. So he gets back on the couch, and he's like, and I'm like, yo, you feel better, though, don't you? I'm like, just remember this when you get the couch. Like, sometimes it's just better to throw up, and you feel better about yourself. So then the second time he fills up, again, I'm like, yo, if you can make it to the bathroom, make it to the bathroom. But I got a trash can in the room next to him. My man gets right next to the trash can and leaves it all on the floor. The good thing is it ain't nothing but mucus. But have you ever seen, like, throw-up mucus? Like, it's so sticky and nasty, yo. And I'm just looking at this stuff like, yo. This is bad. But what can you do? You just got to man up and clean it up, yo. So I told my wife to get the Swiffer and some paper towels so she could clean it up. But I helped with that one. But, yeah, man, so I thought that was just an odd observation. Like, you don't realize you have to teach people to throw up until you actually got to teach somebody to throw up. You got to relax your body, yo. Just let it happen. It's like being with Bill Cosby. You just got to let it happen. All right. What else we got?
You know what's funny? Before you move on, I'm trying to remember what sitcom I was watching. Because you're talking about relaxing your body. You're trying to relax your body while your whole body is contracting. So it's like it's a contradiction. You're trying to get your body to do something that it's fighting you on. I remember watching some sitcom and dude was getting busy with a chick while she was throwing up. And he was about and first he got grossed out, he was like, ugh, then he was like, nah, those contractions is helping. Keep going.
Those contractions is helping. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that whole body gets a squeezing and locking up on you, then yeah, it's a little hard to stay relaxed.
Yeah, you're right. You ain't lying. But, yeah, man, so that's been my experience today. But, all right, man, but there's so much that happened. You know? So that's a half-hour bullshit just going on live. I'll start with you, Blur. I mean, it's so much from Kanye to Diddy to Powerball to Kyrie Irving. Where you want to start tonight? Where you want to start this audio adventure tonight? And next week, look, we might have to do another show tomorrow night on Twitch. I try to get it up running tonight, but we might get another show tomorrow on Twitch. So, but where you want to start tonight?
Oh man, like we can start anywhere, man. I ain't gonna front. You know what? Let's start with Kyrie and Kanye are so intertwined, but let's start with Kyrie because it's more recent.
Okay.
I want to say.
Okay.
I feel like we have to give people grace for being stupid.
Okay.
Like, and this is my thing. Like, people clown LeBron all the time. You know, like, every once a season or every couple of seasons, LeBron starts walking around with a book, but he ain't read the book. There's always something, and he acting like he reading it. He don't be reading it. When somebody asks him about it, he ain't got nothing to say. That's Kyrie. That's Kyrie right now. And kind of like Kanye as well, but that's Kyrie. He in all this trouble. I don't even know if you saw, but he just got suspended 5 games for being stupid. Like, we got to give people grace for being stupid. He's on a journey. He's on his journey of knowledge. I don't remember who said it. Some philosopher didn't get passed down. Like, a little bit of knowledge is a horrible thing because some people learn something, but they only learn a little bit of it, and they think they're experts. Because they just blew their mind with just getting that initial bit of knowledge. That's Kyrie, and he's going through his journey. He's learning some things, but he's stupid. So he's got to express everything he learned, which a lot of people do. Like, they learn something, they get excited, and they want to share it, and they want to put it out there that they learned something new. Man, get out there and I'm about to retweet, not retweet, but post a video, post a movie. He ain't watched a movie. Everybody know he ain't watched the movie. Even when he's talking about it and he's going through the timeline, you can see he's just going through the timeline in his mind. He ain't watched that movie. He found the movie. Thought the title looked good. The title was enticing. The title of the movie was in line with the knowledge that he's learning, what he's reading in his Bible, and he's like, that's right. So he put it out there thinking just the title alone would be in line with his thought process. He ain't watched that damn movie. Everybody needs to know he didn't watch that movie. But he's a grown man. Like, he's set in his ways. He's stubborn. A lot of men are stubborn. So we're getting pressed about it. Now we got to pivot. We got to bob and weave. And we got to lock in. Keep the lie alive. Because if he admits that he's stupid, that might be even worse than being anti-Semitic or, you know, whatever else they said he was in the movie, just being hurtful. Some people would rather be anti-Semitic or thought to be anti-Semitic than show that they, you know what, I made a mistake. I was being stupid.
But he said he can't be anti-Semitic. He's Jewish.
I don't think that's, well, two things. I don't know. I think a Jewish could be an anti-Semite. But either way, a Jewish person can say something anti-Semitic. I don't think it has to come from someone like, black people could say racist stuff. I mean, we could say racist stuff about black people all the time.
That but might black need to be racist.
Get black. Well, that, again, that goes into your definition of racism. Some people think you have to have power or a system behind you to actually be racist. But, yeah, I think, matter of fact, I think a lot of professional athletes are racist.
Damn.
To keep it real. Oh, man. When he get on, he leave your ass for a white girl.
Oh,
just to bring it
man.
Back to Kanye.
Yo, I know a whole lot of regular dudes. We can get into the whole black and white relationship later. I want to stay on Kyrie. Okay, New York, what do you think about the whole Kyrie situation this week? It is a pretty deep discussion, and I have a lot of questions. But New York, Blair, don't forget to watch the background noise. I know you're working. New York, what do you think about the Kyrie Irving situation?
New York, you got us on mute.
I actually do. Is this a situation where he actually posted that little link to, like, a book or something on his Twitter profile, and now he's suspended without pay right now?
Yeah.
Is that hey, like, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not saying, I don't even know what to say about this. I want to hear y'all opinions about it, in a sense, because I'm not brought up to date about all this other stuff. I know I watched the Kanye interviews and stuff like that, but I feel like there's a certain type of speech that can be made without being anti-Semitic. That's just where I come from. And if him just posting a link about something, can you hear me?
Yeah. Repeat that part one more time. I just want to make sure I heard you right. Repeat that last part.
Yeah, the last part was like, I don't think him, like, putting out a link is him being anti-Semitic. Like, if it's a link to a book or something that he's reading, stuff like that, I don't think the freedom of speech or, like, whatever, he's in control of his social media. I don't think him posting a link to a book about that says a certain title is him being anti-Semitic.
Yo, that's the whole other side of it, which I think is, like, also really important. It came, I don't think, Gunn, you might remember, this happened, I think, with Deshaun Jackson a couple years ago when he retweeted, Deshaun Jackson retweeted a book, I think, with Farrakhan on it, or a book written by Farrakhan. And I remember a lot of people there, like, just because he retweeted a book don't mean that he agreed with it. How is retweeting the, it was like, I remember someone specifically put this, I think, on, like, ESPN comments. Just because he repeated a picture of a book, not even the book or anything, he didn't quote the book, it's the retweeting of a picture of a book is racist. It's like people retweet pictures all the time. His is just the cover of a book. He's encouraging people to read, like, stuff like that. That would have been the big debate, I guess, again, this is, I think, where Kyrie fell into his stubbornness. Like, I'm not promoting it. Yeah, yes and no. I agree. Tech, and I guess I've heard a lot of people go over the definition of promotion. I think it is promoting it, but so what? You can promote something and not agree with it. I do it all the time with movies and TV shows and everything. Podcasts, like, yo, y'all got to listen to this. You got to watch this. You got to see this. Shit crazy. But, yeah, just because you retweet or you put a link out to something that might be viewed as anti-Semitic, I got to agree with New York. I don't think that makes you anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this I have questions with. And I really started to call some of my Jewish buddies, but I didn't want to put them on the spotlight. I didn't want to put them, like, in a, you know, tough situation and all that. And they still might join us. But, you know, I didn't want them to feel attacked or to feel like they had to defend something just because of their heritage. Like, if they're going to join us, I'd rather just be a good, fun episode unless they really, really wanted to. So I told them don't worry about it this week. But I told them to listen in like they usually do if they want. And, you know, they can tell me if I'm wrong or not. The Kyrie Irving situation is weird because I always try to put myself, and I think most people should. I think that's the part of empathy. So he tweeted this movie. He tweeted the link out of this movie. And I've never seen it in the movie. I've never heard of the movie. But apparently it has some anti-Semitic views in it. And the only reason why I say apparently is just because that's what everybody says. I just told you I ain't read it. So my question is, just because he tweets the movie out, does that make him anti-Semitic? Like, it's the same problem I had with Kanye. Like, if you're going to call someone racist, tell me what racist thing they said. Or tell me what position they put people in or how did they frame people to make them seem racist. Now, Kanye, I was like, well, what did he say that was anti-Semitic? And then, hey, watch out background noise. And then people can point to quotes where in the Drink Champs interview where he said, Jews own the banks. And it's pushing a narrative. And I was like, okay, I can agree with that because I know I got a bunch of Jewish friends and they ain't got nothing to do with banks. Now, I don't know what their families do, but I know them personally. You know, they're educators and coaches and stuff. Like, they ain't got nothing to do with banks. So, you know, to classify all Jewish people as running banks is, you know, pretty racist. Because if you said all black people, you know, are drug dealers, then that's racist. So I can put myself in a position and say that. But then I have the question, if you say, hey, black people run basketball, I would say, no, you know, all the owners, except for, you know, Michael Jordan, are white. And they say, no, athletically, like the players, black people run basketball. And I'm like, okay, well, you got Luka Doncic, but, you know, that's pretty much it, so I would agree. So to me, that's a fact. It's not a racist statement. So somebody says Jewish people run houses. Huh?
But that's the thing, and this is part of the thing, and it's funny, and this is where I think Kyrie and Kanye overlap. Because I don't know if you saw the interview when Kanye was outside. He was outside of bowling alley or something. He had to talk to a reporter for a little bit. He read the definition of anti-Semitic. He didn't even know what it was. And he said, like, yeah, I did that. Because part of it, and I guess I don't know if stereotyping is the same as racism. I know they could be intertwined. But I guess the textbook definition of anti-Semitic is also stereotyping Jewish people. So if it's like all black people or black people run the NBA, I thought about that analogy as well. I mean, it's predominantly black. Like, you could give a percentage and it'd be, all right, that's a fact. 90% of the players in the NBA are black or whatever the percentage is. Yeah, then you say it like that. When you say black people run the NBA, you're pushing a stereotype. Yeah, I don't know if stereotype and racism go together, but stereotype and anti-Semitism go together. So when you stereotype an industry based off of someone's religion, because I'm not going to call it a race, religion, then yeah, that becomes anti-Semitic by the textbook definition of it. that's when Kanye read it. He was like, yo, I didn't know this beforehand, which again, like, he's on a journey. He's learning things. He's picking up new knowledge. And as he goes, because Kanye said a lot of things that made sense. He said a lot of right things, but just kept going a little bit too far, especially when it got to personal issues with him. Kanye, I think, rightfully is able to backtrack, though, and say, all right, I was wrong about that. I know now that, hey, saying this, even though I'm showing this that 90% of the entertainment is headed by Jewish people, I understand by saying that Jews run the media. I understand that that is a racial or anti-Semitic thing to say. I didn't realize when I said it before, I was being anti-Semitic. I thought I was just pointing out obvious facts. Let me put it this way. 17 of the top 20 entertainment industries are ran by Jewish people. That's now a fact, and it's not just a stereotype or it's not racist, stuff like that. So it is kind of splitting hairs, but there is a definite intermingling of, say, if I'm stereotypical, and, you know, stereotypes are usually come from truth, and connecting it to something that's racial or based on religion, like Jewish. I guess that's
so I got a question. Look at that.
Oh, go ahead, New York.
Okay. No, but I'm saying if we're talking about if that's actually like a factual number, that 17 out of the 20 is actually running the media, is that really anti-Semitic? Is it factual at that point?
That's the thing. It is when you say it like that. And again, because what does it mean to run something? Like, they're all, like, the CEO, he ran down the whole list, and that's the whole thing. The chart he showed, and you can look it up, it's from 2013, but I don't think, like, the heads of these film studios and all these studios. He ran down a bunch of ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Nickelodeon, Disney, all these things, like 17. He went down, like, the top 20, and 17 of them are headed by Jewish people. But what does that mean? Like, are they making decisions? Like, the owner and CEO of, I don't know, Nickelodeon, because Nickelodeon was on the list. I don't know how much decisions he's making on a day-to-day basis about what they do. So when you say they're run by Jewish people, what does that mean?
I see what you're saying now. I see what you're saying now.
So, but wouldn't the owner have the final say? What do you mean you don't think he has any say? He's the owner.
How many decisions do you think get to the head of Nickelodeon? And what type of decisions do you think those are? Or MTV? How many decisions do you think reach the head of MTV?
I mean, I don't know the entertainment industry like that because I'm not a big fan of, like, so many forms of entertainment. But, I mean, I know sports, and I know Jerry Jones makes the decisions. He's the owner of his team.
Yeah, so he won. But then people say that all the time. Like, let me think of another one. Jerry Jones, because he's a very hands-on owner. There are some owners who aren't hands-on.
Okay. So I'll put it like this. I'll take it for my institution at my school. I'm not going to put him on blast. But I am an accountant for a university, right? I have a supervisor. My supervisor has basically what they call a controller, somebody who controls the money in the university. They report to the vice president and then the president of the university. Right? So it's about six, I'm about five people away from the top of the university. When our last president retired, they put out a big search and got a new president. Now, does the president make any day-to-day decisions on stuff? No, that's usually like me and my supervisor, right? But when that new president came in, he looked around and said, yeah, the vice president, got to go. Controller, got to go. Assistant controller, got to go. I'm making changes. These are the decisions I'm making. Y'all just got to deal with it. So they put the people in the power, the people who own it, control what's going on. Now, I don't know if it's like that in every industry. I know when I worked at a private firm for an institution that, you know, sold a bunch of, that, you know, ran a bunch of restaurants up in the East Coast, the owner was very hands-on. You know, the CFO of our company, he handpicked, and he made sure the CFO did what he needed to do for the company because he was the owner. Whether that dealt with legal or illegal things.
But that goes to show why you just can't throw things out there, though. Like, you just can't say, hey, Jewish people run 90% of the entertainment. Because some owners may be hands-on. Some may not. And then even if they are, when you say run, it paints a picture. It paints a picture. Whenever you connect these group of people based off of one particular thing, 90%, why can't 90% of the NBA be ran by people who worked harder than everybody else, got up and practiced harder, dedicated more time and energy? That would be 100% of them. Oh, probably, maybe not 100%. Some people are just tall. Yeah, you. When you say black people, you're limited to just their race. I mean, LeBron probably ain't got nothing in common other than being black with the dude who wouldn't wear the Black Lives Matter shirt or wouldn't take a knee. But you're reducing it down to just their race. Like, hey, he's black, he's black. 90% of the NBA is black people. I mean, yeah, possibly, but what's the connection? So what? 90% of the entertainment industry is run by Jewish people. Maybe they are. 90% is owned by Jewish people, but some of them, if not most of them, probably ain't got no, aren't making any day-to-day decisions. And even then, so what? Not all, you say, what you're saying is that all Jewish people are alike, are all in one accord. That's where it becomes, when you start connecting these possibly and probably individual people who have nothing in common, you're connecting them solely by their religion.
Okay. I mean, it's a good argument. I mean, I can't deny it. I kind of understand and I kind of don't, because I'm the same way. That's like, well, if 90% of the people who run Hollywood are Jewish, you say, hey, Jewish people run Hollywood. That's like me saying, hey, 90% of the best players in the NBA are black, so black people run the NBA. Well, if you're talking ownership, of course, that's not true. But if you're talking about the athletes, I was like, yeah, black people do. Black basketball is a black sport. That's why there's going to be a white corner drafted. I don't know, Blair, you listen to the Bomani Jones show like I do. Well, I don't think he was on Bomani. I think he was on Dan Levitard. There's going to be a white quarterback drafted from Iowa this year. He's probably going to be second or third quarterback taken in the NFL draft, and he's white. And it's like, yo, that's an anomaly. It's an anomaly. Like, it's, and they were like, yo, he should have his own day in Iowa just because he survived as a white quarterback. And he's, like, really good. He's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell he didn't get there because he was white. He's actually good.
I don't know. We'll have to see about that, because the Chiefs had a white corner, and, yeah, they had to replace him because he was getting burnt. It's funny. Like, I have heard Bomani talk about that a lot. The Kittles what's his name? The Kittle brothers, who are both in the league, they have a podcast. They said the same thing. If a cornerback is the hardest position in the NFL, and they explain why, and they say it's so hard, they won't even let white people do it.
That's foul. But yeah, so I don't know, man. I mean, I would love to have a deep conversation on the whole Jewish versus black thing. Because, you know, if you grew up in or around a city, you're familiar with the black Hebrews, the black Israelites, the black Jewish people. I never knew where they came from. I just knew they always had a bullhorn and was standing on a corner near a corner store. Never really talked to them about their religion, what their beliefs, but they've always said that they were the original people. Now, we all know that the original man came from Africa. Israel and that whole area is basically Africa, the African peninsula. I don't know like, because I don't want to offend Jewish people and their religion, because, you know, they go back to Bible days, right? But I don't want to be ignorant to how real life is. We've seen white people kill a bunch of people who didn't look like them all the time. Like, to say Jewish people didn't steal black people's religion, like, we've seen it done before, but to blame all Jews for it is like to blame all white people for slavery. Like, nobody's going to do that. But what is the history behind black people and the Jewish faith?
I mean, I actually have. I don't know. Take some time to talk to the black Israelites, man. I talk to them. I mean, because I'd be out there. See, out here, they just be in front of the Walgreens, and I guess the Walgreens is the version of the corner store. Oh, yeah, they'd be out. They'd be handing out their pamphlets, and I'd be talking to them. I ain't got no problem talking to them. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. The black person was the original man. I agree with y'all. I ain't about to stand up here and wear these outfits like y'all, but I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm home with it. But no, they'll talk to you. And I guess there's been something in the Bible about the lost tribe of Israelites, which is technically, I guess, where the darker skin, the black people of Israel, I guess, were the lost tribe. I mean, they got history, and again, it all goes back to what you believe. I mean, it all comes back to a belief system. If you believe it to be true or not, what you were taught growing up or what you decide to believe as an adult. But, I mean, like Cameron would say, you wasn't there. So you got to know if you believe it or not. But there are some scriptures in the Bible and some texts that there's a lost tribe, and if you believe that that lost tribe turned out to be the black Israelites or the Moor, Hebrew Moor, because, you know, back then it used to be the Moors, which were the dark people who were Muslims, the Islamic ones, and then you had, the Christians and the whole Crusades and everything. So, yeah, man, it goes back a ways, and it just comes down to if you believe it or not.
Because, and this is where I need to talk to Jewish people. Right, and not to be offensive, it's to get some education. When Kyrie Irving, when Kanye West says, I can't be anti-Semitic, I'm the original black Jewish person. And then a Jewish person says, you're black, you can't be Jewish. To me, that sounds racist.
Wait, and the Jewish person said that? To one of them?
No, but that's... That's their defense. Like when Kanye West and Kyrie Irving say, I can't be anti-Semitic, I know where I come from, or I'm the original black Jew, Jewish people's response are like, you're not Jewish. Like, you can't be Jewish. Like,
I've never heard anyone say that.
I don't think they will, but you can tell by the response of... of what's going on with them, that they don't believe that they're Jewish at all. They're not even giving them a iota of an inch to a mile that they could even possibly be Jewish. Because if Jewish people said, oh, okay, you think you're Jewish, then come on, let's have this conversation and let's talk about Jewish history and why you think the way you do. But they don't.
But they have.
They have said that. They just shut their funds down.
Nah, they have. And, like, the one interview, I think, before he did the outside thing where he was just kind of talking to a bunch of reporters, the one sit-down interview Kanye had when he went on for about 2 hours with a Jewish dude, he was like, yo, we can talk about this. Let's come to the Holocaust Museum. I got rabbis who would love to talk to you as well. We can explain why these things you're saying are hurtful, because you're saying you don't know why they're hurtful. We can tell you why they're hurtful and why they're dangerous. Kind of like, are you going to come to our Holocaust? The Planned Parenthood, that's our Holocaust Museum. Black babies, he just goes off on this other thing, which again, I mean, Kanye, man, you've got to, like, stick on track, man. You got this little bit of knowledge, and when someone tries to, like, press you on it, you got to pivot, because you don't want to initially just admit that, like, all right, you know what, maybe I ain't know what I was talking about, which nobody wants to admit that. No one just walks around saying, all right, well, there might be some people, just no one's quick to say, all right, I was wrong. At least I would say probably most people who aren't highly successful, because I think you get highly successful by digging in a little bit. And yeah, man, so they have done that. The Jewish people have tried to communicate and try to, like, yo, let's do this. But at the same time, I feel like everything that's happened to Kanye, at least, and somewhat Kyrie, because Kyrie, I think, is just being stupid. He jumped in to start digging in against the media, which didn't really make no sense because it made him look bad. Kanye, everything that's happening to Kanye, I feel like, and I know a bunch of comedians have said the same thing, like, yo, all right, let's stop because y'all proving his point. y'all making it seem like he was right. Like, yeah, Kanye said Jews run the bank, and he can't go to a bank now. I'm like, okay, that's a little funny. Kanye said Jews run social media. He can't get on any social media. I'm like, all right. He's like, as a comedian, I was just listening. He's like, as a Jewish man, I got to talk to our people. We got to cut it out. We're kind of proving this point. It's not like they haven't tried to talk to him, but at the same time, I think it's more so, and the thing that Kanye pointed out, just the people and it's the support system. It's like the other people, not necessarily just the Jewish people, the other people are so quick to defend and to jump in. Like, nah, we ain't going to stand for that. Which I think is why he was saying he was jealous of the Jewish people, because black people don't have that same type of support system and that same type of togetherness. That when someone says something that's disrespectful to us, everybody look around like, all right, is anybody going to complain? All right, the blacks ain't complaining, so fuck it, let it go. And the Jewish people, they don't even got to look around because everyone's so quick to jump on it and be like, yo, no, you can't say that. So, like, I mean, the people who kicking them out of the banks and off of social media, they ain't really got no choice because everybody is saying he got to go.
Yeah, and I mean, it's impressive. Like, I mean, it's one of those weird things where Kanye sounded like a lunatic, but it also sounds like he was right. Like he said, Jews run the bank. The Jews got offended. J.P. Morgan canceled. I don't know who runs J.P. Morgan. Maybe it was a nice Catholic guy who didn't appreciate his comments anyway. You know, he says, you know, like you just
Jamie
said.
Diamond. Jamie Dimon runs J.P. Morgan Chase. I don't know if he's Jewish or not, though, to be honest with you. I don't think he's Jewish. But it might be even somebody above him. But as far as I know, if he's the top person for Chase. And, yeah, I don't think he's Jewish, but I could be wrong. But either way, like, it ain't even got to be up to them. Because you see the response that everybody gives? Like, everybody jumped on it so quick. Jewish people, non-Jewish people. Asian people, everybody was jumping on Kanye.
Yeah, it's impressive. And, like, and I'm also fascinated, you know, because a lot of Jewish people went to Hollywood. And, you know, I don't know what documentary I was watching. Like, a lot of them, because of the way they were being persecuted, had to change their last name so people wouldn't know that they were Jewish. You know. And, you know, that's how they were able to get their start and be able to start businesses. And, like, I've always felt that, you know, maybe some of the resentment that black people had is that, like, we couldn't go someplace new and just change our last name and be accepted. Like, we had to wear our unacceptance on our skin. And maybe, like Kanye said, there's a little jealousy there. Like, they were an oppressed people who could just change their last name from, you know, Hurwitz to Evans, and they automatically be say, oh, you're Italian or you're white or you're, you know, from that side, and, you know, you got all the opportunities in the world to make it if you can work hard. Whereas us, you know, they said we were, you know, free of slavery, but because we had to wear this color on our skin, you know, they still made laws where we couldn't even, you know, get equality until, you know, the 70s damn near. So I think there is a bit of, I want to say jealousy.
I mean, Kanye called it jealousy. He said he's jealous. And I can understand that. And a lot of people say that as well. And I think a lot of black people are. But, again, for good reason. It's weird, though. I think you have to go about it a different way. Like, Kanye, you can't do what Kanye and Kyrie did. Because, like, just pointing at what other people have and saying, we need to have that. It's not the way to do it. Or saying, we don't have that, but they do. Nah, that's not the way you go about getting it, I don't think.
But why can't we look at Jewish people and say, we appreciate your model. We want to, I guess that's feeding into the stereotype that they have a model. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, why can't you say, hey, I want for my people the unity? When Kanye started saying all this shit about Jewish people and how the Jewish people rallied together and other people supported them, like, what's wrong with saying I want black people to be able to rally together and have that same type of support from other people as well? Like, what's, like, why is that anti-Semitic is my question.
That wouldn't be anti-Semitic. And in the Drink Champs interview, Kanye said that. But he said it after everything else he said. It's just the way you go about saying it. He said it after saying the Jews run the media. The Jews run the bank. My Jewish doctor tried to misdiagnose me. I would be killed if I listened to him. Like, it was the Jewish, what do you say, the Jewish agent or whatever is destroying my family, the reason that me and Kim is breaking up. Like, yeah, you can't say all that and then jump back and it's like, yeah, I'm jealous of what they did. I want that for the black people. Like, skip all that first stuff. Skip all that first part. And just say, hey, there's a group of people that have accomplished what I think the black community needs to accomplish if we work together, if we do whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand. New York, what you got? You've been silent for a while. You're from New York. You know a lot of Jewish people. You eat bagels.
Yeah, just like the Jewish people be taking the signs off the street, or the parking, and then they be taking the signs off, and then they can park there whenever, but we ain't going to get onto that rant. I'm just playing. Chill, relax. Don't cancel me. But I don't know. I'm torn between the two, like, in a sense. Like, I really don't think, I can understand, like, what Blur is saying and everything. There's a certain way that you go about it. Like, when I watched the interview with Kanye on Drink Champs, I honestly, in my thinking right now at 29 years old, I didn't think that he said anything anti-Semitic, because anything that the repercussions that happened after that, they was proving his point actually after that. But just given hindsight, I'm just trying to learn about the situation and everything like that. Yeah, in some ways it could come off as anti-Semitic, because if the role was reversed or the shoe was put on the other foot, if somebody said that about us, I could see how it would be, like, stereotypical about, like, well, how, like, I mean, would you gave the example of if 90% of black people are in the NBA and running the NBA, they run the NBA type stuff. I can understand that, but I don't think, like, anything was, like, out of character. And then the same thing with Kyrie did. I don't think anything, even if it's true, like, I don't even think it's really out of character in a sense. I don't think it's really out of character. But I mean, I'm still formulating my thoughts about everything and stuff like that. So that's the real reason why I've been quiet, because, like, I'm still trying to make sense of everything.
So, and yeah, to get back to Kyrie, man, I should have told. I have my Jewish boys come over here next week. Well, we might be over this by then. But getting back to Kyrie, he got suspended for 5 games. For sharing the link to a movie.
That's true and not true, though. That's true and not true.
Okay.
Because it started with him sharing, the whole thing started with him sharing the movie, and then the whole back and forth with the media dude who asked, like, hey, did you watch the movie? Y'all not going to persecute me? Like, that's when you ask somebody a direct question and they spin, you got your answer. I'm just like everybody else. Y'all keep talking about I got this big platform and I'm so influential. Y'all gonna treat me just like y'all treat everybody else. I'm a man first. Like, yeah, all right, Kyrie, all he asked you is, did you watch the movie before you shared the link? So we know you didn't. But not the owner, or the GM, whatever, asked him to come out and make a statement saying he denounces any forms of violence towards Jewish people or something like that. He's not for... And he doesn't support any anti-Semitic statements, and he's not for violence towards Jewish people or oppressed people. They wrote him a statement. He refused to say it, essentially saying he didn't. The statement was essentially saying he wasn't supporting violence towards Jewish people. He said, nah. Which, like, come on, bro. Come on. And I think I understand. I haven't heard a comment from Kyrie yet, but I think I get why he wouldn't. He's like, why do I got to say this? Because I didn't say anything that said, I didn't give you any indication that I did support that. Like, I didn't say anything out of my mouth to make you think that. So why would you want me to say something to denounce it? That's my thought.
Right.
But if they ask you to do it, why are you digging in saying, no, I'm not doing that?
Well, I can understand that because I never said anything violent against Jewish people in the first place. Like, I saw this, like, I saw this movie, which we all believe he didn't see it. I shared the link. I didn't say anything to support or negative against. Now, we can say that, yeah, you shared on your platform, you promoted it. It's got some anti-Semitic views. Okay, you can question me about that. But I don't think that's a reason to get suspended. And the only reason why I say that is because, like, if I share a link of Django Unchained, like,
exactly, right?
Black people kill white people? Does that mean I support white people enslaving black people? Does that mean I think Leonardo DiCaprio's a racist? Like, I understand it's a little bit of an extreme thing because, you know, this was one of them, you know, weird type movies. But, you know, content is content. Like, we can't, unless... I can't claim someone's racist unless they do something racist. You can't say Kyrie Irving, by sharing this movie, is against Jewish people when he didn't say anything Jewish. Like, just people who read the book Mein Kampf just because they wanted to get the mind of what Hitler was doing. Most people will tell you that the medical practices followed today come from an unfortunate thing of the torture that Germans put through to the Jews and all the experimentations they were doing. It doesn't mean that they don't use the medical knowledge. It's awful what happened. It's god awful. But
let me ask you this.
Well, I'm just finishing with this. Yeah, I don't.
Think yeah, my bad. I thought you took a breath. I thought you might be done.
I'm just stuffed up, yeah. I just don't think that you can sustain. Now, you can question them all you want. Like, Jewish people got every right to ask questions and see what the fuck's going on. But I don't think you can suspend him from his employer just because he's sharing a movie. I mean, that's like saying that once we figure out whose people political views are, you know, you should own a team. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But go ahead, bro.
Now, I was going to ask you this, both of y'all. Neither one of y'all said anything racist or anti-Semitic. Boom. Cool. Your boss come to you and say, hey, I know you didn't say anything, but we're getting this bad publicity. We wrote a statement for you. We just want you to post this or put this out, or just we got a conference set up for you. Just go ahead and say this so we can get this behind us and move on. Now, you know you didn't say anything wrong. Do you stand on your morals and say, I'm not doing it? Or do you just issue the statement, take one for the team to put it behind you and move on?
I'm pretty stubborn. I probably stand on my statement like, yo, if I didn't do anything wrong, stop treating me like I did something wrong. Well, not that I did anything wrong, but if I didn't do what you're telling me that I'm apologizing for, I'm not apologizing for that. Like, but I'm firmly of the agree that, but see, I'm different, though, because I don't mind apologizing what I'm wrong. Like, I tell people all the time, I have no problem saying I'm sorry. I got no problem saying, yo, what's wrong with Kanye saying Jews run the bank? Jews own 99% of the bank. And the Jewish person says, yeah, but, dog, I coach, you know, football. I don't have anything to do with the bank. So saying all Jews run banks is offensive to me because I ain't got nothing to do with the bank. So that's racist. And I'm like, oh, my bad. That's right. That makes sense. So me personally, if you're telling me, tell me what I said that was wrong. Let's have a long discussion about it because I'm going to always get pushback because I try to think before I say it. Now, here it's a little different. We got 2 hours. We're just spitting off the top of the dome. We're looking for information. We're having a discussion. So some things I can't research right away. But if my boss comes to me and says, yeah, I want you to apologize for something that you didn't do, I'm going to say no. suck my dick. And then I'll have to apologize for that.
New York, for the latter, right? No, you got to apologize for the latter of what you're saying, right? But nah, anything else before that, you know what I mean? That's an admission of guilt. I'm not doing that. If I feel like I got to stand on my own 10 toes, if I feel like I don't, even with the knowledge, right, you can tell me that if I'm wrong and I actually see that I'm wrong, okay, then I definitely have no problem taking accountability when I'm wrong, and I will apologize for that. But if what I'm saying is true and then you prove it is true, no, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not – what? And nobody's going to make a statement for me that's not out of my own mouth. Like, that's not my words. Like, no, it's not happening. It's really not happening, no matter
– Because I feel if Kanye – just humor me for a second, Blur in New York, New York. If Kanye said – Yo, my apologies. I shouldn't have said all Jewish people run Hollywood. I shouldn't have said all Jewish people run banks. I should have said 97% of the CFOs in banks are Jewish. 99% of the people who own the Hollywood houses are Jewish. I should have said that instead of what I said before. I still feel like Jewish people would get upset.
100%. No, I definitely agree with that. 100%.
See, I don't think so, because I think when you say it, and it's, I know it's a subtle difference between the two, but I think when you say it the latter way, when you say, you know, 95% of the CFOs of banks are Jewish, you're stating a statistic, and it's less. It doesn't sound, at least to me, it doesn't sound like you're insinuating something, as opposed to saying the Jews run the banking system or the Jews run the banks. Because the first thing, like when he first made the first comment after the first Drink Champ interview, even before it was taken down, I listened to a podcast and they had a Jewish dude come on there and they wanted the Jewish dude to like not go at Kanye but kind of dispute some of the things he was saying. But that's not what happened. The Jewish dude was like the first five or the first seven film studios were opened by Jewish people. And they were like, yeah, you're kind of leaning into what Kanye said. And he's like, no, there's what Kanye said, like there was some kind of collaboration in it. Like there was some kind of a plan. He had a word, I can't think of the exact word he said. Like there's some kind of agenda. Like there was an agenda, a Jewish agenda with people in the banking industry or in the media. He's like, no, five out of, he was trying to say, like, yeah, Jewish people started Hollywood. Five of the seven first studios in Hollywood were started by Jewish people. And he was saying how Jewish people, his whole thing was trying to dispute that there was a Jewish agenda. Jewish people, even though they started Hollywood and they started the banks, and he said, yeah, Jewish people did start banks because back in the olden times, when everybody was living by religion, Christians couldn't loan money with interest. They could loan money, but they couldn't charge interest, and neither could Muslims. So during the Crusades and everything, Jewish people were loaning money because they were, their religion allowed them to charge interest. So Jewish people have run the bank. They have started. They were the first people to start like a banking conglomerate, like a banking system. They did start Hollywood. 95% of the heads of film industries are Jewish. But when you say it the way Kanye said it, you make it seem like there's an agenda instead of just, hey, this is just a coincidence, or these are just people who started banks and started film studios who happened to practice Jewish religion. So it's just that slight difference there, that real slight difference.
But isn't that just, and again, we should have a Jewish person on here to clarify this for all of us. We're just talking, not accusing anything. But isn't that just stereotypical Jewish guilt? Like, if Kanye didn't say, hey, Jewish people have an agenda to only give good interest rates to Jewish people and give bad interest rates to black people. That sounds very – but when Kanye says people –
But if that comes to the whole thing, like, why are you saying 90% of the people in the NBA are black instead of saying 90% of the people in the NBA outwork the people in their high school, outwork the people in their college, put time in, got up at 5 a.m. to run drills or whatever, worked harder. 99% of the NBA worked harder than the other people, than the rest of us.
Like,
well,
it's the same reason why they pointed out the stat for the Major League World Series, that there's not one black born American player in the World Series this year. It's like an observation of, why isn't there more diversity here? It's the same reason why they say, why is there only one black majority owner in the NBA? Why isn't there more diversity there? Why isn't there a black owner in the NFL with all the things?
And when you say that, it's just point out that, hey, the people in power are making it so. The other owners aren't selling the black people. The owners aren't hiring black coaches, because you're putting an emphasis on that thing. And so when you say, hey, the Jewish people run – and I think that's – because they asked him that – and again, I got to remember a podcast I was listening to where they had the Jewish dude on there. When you say they run industry, it sounds like you're saying they're running it together. Like, they're doing this together. And that – he said that's not the case, but I'm assuming, hey, maybe it was the case at one point, but it's probably not now. Maybe the Jewish people are all in it together, but I doubt it. I think some of these people are competitors. They're not trying to help out other people, even if they are other Jewish people. I'm pretty sure – whoever the head of Warner Brothers ain't trying to help out the head of Disney.
Yeah, but he might want to help out the head of Disney versus Puff Daddy.
Exactly. So, and then that's the case. Why are the views anti-Semitic? Just that's the actual case. Then.
I mean, and again, we don't know.
I think it just comes down to then how you say it. When you say it like an actual fact. 5 out of 7 Hollywood studios were started by Jewish people. The first 5 out of 7. 95% of the current film studios are owned by Jewish people. That's a fact. Those are numbers. Jews run the media.
But I still think Jewish people get offended if you say that. Because I think that they infer, oh, you're trying to do the Hitler thing and trying to blame us for something. Now, I don't know.
And I don't even know if it's an inference.
Huh?
I think it's just like, I don't even know if it's an inference. It's just a repeating of like, yo, we've been down this before. We've seen what happens. We know how this thought process goes. Like, we've seen it happen time and time again. It starts with saying, hey, them right there, they run the banks. So them right there, they're the reason you ain't got no money. They're the reason your house is foreclosed. They're the reason. How do we fix this? Let's take care of them. Like, They've seen this done time and time again. And this goes kind of against, I didn't know Jewish people had a motto. I found this out in the podcast I was listening to. And the motto is never again. And so that's why everybody, like, especially Jewish people, are hyper-vigilant when they start seeing the signs. Like, oh, we know where these breadcrumbs lead to. That's why it's like, that's why I look at it as like you're being on a journey. Like, all right, Kanye, you picked up the first breadcrumb, so you're learning a little bit more. And Jewish people are like, all right, he picked up the first breadcrumb. If he keeps going down this path, we know where he's going to head or where he could head. We know where this train of thought takes a lot of people.
But okay.
So why is there so much emphasis on black people, though? Like, why is it always cut off at us? There's other people saying it. There's other people saying it than just us. There's other people that are unjust, too. That's under this system. Like, why I gotta stop at us?
I mean, I see in the Jewish people's defense, it's actually black people who started calling them out this time. I've rarely ever seen a Jewish person call out a black person. I did go to school with a kid they called the Jewish Jordan, which, you know, he was great. Great kid, good basketball player, but I always laugh, like, yo, you're comparing the man to Jordan, and he's at Towson University, Division I AA school. Jordan is arguably the greatest basketball player that ever lived, and you gave this kid the nickname the Jewish Jordan, and he's at a Division I AA program.
It's not like they get at white people can't go after the Jews either. Like they attack the white people too. The problem is, I guess in the hierarchy of things, who has more support? And Jewish people got a lot of support. White men, like Christian white men, have just as much, if maybe just slightly enough support. So, yeah, they could go at white men, but uh, those those white men, they got people backing them too.
So is that the only problem? Okay, so now let's have a dangerous discussion. So is the only problem here that even though Kanye and Kyrie have these wild views, that black people don't have the power to support them like white people have the power to support like Donald Trump, and that's why Donald Trump can get away with saying racist, sexist things and nothing really happens, but Kanye and Kyrie say these things and then their money and job gets affected because we just don't have the power to support them?
I think yes and no, but I don't think it's just the black thing. I think it's, well, it's partly black because they do have support. Like, I'm pretty sure you've seen the people who support Kanye, who were wearing signs and hanging signs over the highway in L.A. saying Kanye didn't say anything wrong. Kanye was right. So they have people supporting them, but how many? Because it's not like black people are, again, it wasn't just Jewish people who were calling for like, yo, y'all can't be doing this. Dream Champs, you got to cancel this. Adidas, we not fucking with you if you fuck with Kanye. That wasn't just Jewish people saying that. That was other white people, and it was black people who were like, no, we ain't fucking with you. Like, so you got support, but the anti-Semitic, and I guess because it's so close to being what the Nazis said, like, you're not going to have too many people having your back behind that. I mean, again, it's all in how you say it. I saw an Asian dude posted a thing, like, the second half of the Drink Champs interview where Kanye was saying he was jealous and he wants what the Jewish people have, he wants that for the black community. And the Asian dude was like, yeah, I get that. And I was like, yeah, I think everybody would get that. And I think black people would get behind it if he said that only, if he didn't start with the bullshit first. But once you start sounding like Hitler and start sounding like you going down the breadcrumb of like, yo, the Jews are responsible for my problem. The Jews who run the banks, the industries, and all, they're going to be responsible for your problem. Yeah, you're not going to have people behind you, except for other people who think like that, not necessarily black people.
Yeah, because that was the main problem I had with Kanye's thing. It was like you could tell what he was trying to say, but he said so much bullshit in front of it that you couldn't support any of it. Like, you couldn't even, you know, you heard what he said, you know what he meant. You can't even have that discussion because he just went, like, even the whole, I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on Jews when I wake up. It's like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, on all Jewish people? Like, is that where you're really, really thinking about? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, because I know there's a bunch of Jewish people that helped you along your way. You're in the industry. And that sounds racist.
And you know what's funny? He did the last sit-down interview he did with the Jewish dude. The Jewish dude was like, yo, stop saying Jewish media. Stop saying Jewish people. Say who you're talking about. You're clearly talking about somebody. Who? Who in the media has fucked you over that you're trying to talk to? And he named one name, somebody I ain't never heard of, I ain't know. He named the Jewish doctor or whatever. He was like, say them. Say that person is fucking you over. He said Howard Stern. Say Howard Stern is this. Don't say Jewish media. Name the person you're talking about. Because maybe it's just the person you're talking about. Maybe it's not because they're Jewish.
Yeah, and you know, that's a hell of a point because, you know, if he did say CEO of Adidas, never mentioned the fact that he was Jewish. If he said the CEO of J.P. Morgan, never mentioned he was Jewish. He was like, yo, these people are, you know, treating me like this, this, and that. I don't think no one bats an eye. But because you label it as their religion, are they a religion or a race? I never understood how. I'm still confused. That's why I got to get my Jewish folks on that.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I got that question too.
Yeah, I don't know how Judaism can be a race and a religion at the same time. But, because, like, is everyone that's born Jewish, or anybody, like, so I got a buddy, one of my best friends in the world, he's Jewish. He married a black Creole woman. When they have a baby, is their baby Jewish?
Now, the funny thing is, this is like the same thing, or similar to what the Italians do. But if the mom is Jewish, the kid is Jewish, apparently. Like, that's because apparently it's going to be, and I guess it may be a different time and whatever they call the patriarchy, where the mom was the one raising the kids and in the home, you know, helping with homework, sending them to the Jewish community center and all that other good stuff. But if the mom was the Jewish one, then the kids were Jewish.
So that is, so that's not religion then?
I think it's religion. Again, I brought it up all the time, and I'm not going to say Sammy Davis Jr. There's somebody else. Was it, damn it, who's the dude who's married to, the dude who used to be on Good Music, who's the singer dude, John Legend. I think John Legend is Jewish apparently as well. Another black Jewish person. Like, they did it on Sex and the City. Like, you can become Jewish. You can take the test. You can study. You can go and recite the things at the church. And you get, like, being baptized. You can become Jewish. So I look at it as a religion.
So that's what I'm saying. How can it be a race if you can be, like, because can you become black if you're white? Like, can you get baptized at a barbecue with some rib tips, some bacon, some watermelon, and some Kool-Aid and become black?
Why it got to be bacon, man?
Yeah, I love bacon. Yeah, black people love bacon, except for Muslims. Like, is this what this really is about? Is this whole Jewish versus black thing really about Israel and Palestine? Is that where all this comes from? Because I still don't understand their beef.
Oh, man, they're beef. They're over the chosen land, man. I think everybody want to have control or be say that where God was born and died and all that other stuff is here. This is our land. So, yeah, I understand why they beefing. Because, I mean, some pretty popular land to have in your borders.
But I just don't understand it, because if it's God, isn't it everybody's land?
I would say yes and no, because, like, is this Israel or is it Palestine or whatever the two things are? Where that, is that part of America? No, that's not part of America. We know for a fact he wasn't over here in North America. He wasn't on this continent. What country is
not
this
true.
In? Who controls this country?
Not true. You know, the Mormons believe Jesus walked over here and chilled out in Utah.
Hey, like Cameron said, I wasn't there.
I think that was a good Jewish black discussion. We love our Jewish brothers and sisters. Y'all do need to add some salt into that potato soup that y'all got. Y'all need to add some leaven, some of that unleavened bread. But everything else be on point. My Jewish his homie, his mom, makes these joints called orgasm bars. I don't know if that's part of the religion or not, but these are some of the best damn desserts I've ever had in my life, yo. So shout out to our Jewish family, man. Let's improve on black and white relations of all races and religions. Let's see. Did y'all watch the Logan Paul fight?
Hell no.
I did not, but I seen a little clip of the ending of the knockout. I mean, I don't know if that was true or not, but that's what I saw. That's the only part of the fight that I saw.
Yeah, they called it a fake. They called it a flop. I don't think it was a flop, man. That dude, Anderson Silva, about 50 years old. But it was an entertaining fight. Like, it's one thing. Like, okay, this dude is a social media star, which, you know, you forget how many people in this world and how much of life that you're just not in contact with. So when Logan Paul started doing these fights, I had never heard of him. And everyone said that he was a YouTube star. I've never seen Logan Paul to this day, even now that I know who he is, I've never seen a YouTube video of him or a Instagram video of him. But apparently he's a star. He started doing all this fighting and all that stuff. And yeah, he's picking his fights, but you know, like he's not going to be like a major, you know, boxing on the circuit or nothing. But he's picking entertaining fights. They're enjoyable to watch. Sometimes they're more enjoyable than these heavyweight fights and middleweight. Well, not really the middleweight fights, but the heavyweight fights and the light heavyweight fights. They're more entertaining. So, you know, maybe there's something to it. Maybe he's clearly making good money. But, so y'all not interested in this fight at all?
I'm not interested. Did he win the fight? I'm going to sound like you're saying he won. I don't know.
Yeah, he won by decision. He knocked Anderson Silva down once, and that was basically the decision of the fight. But they were hitting each other.
I'll be interested when he fights somebody I'm interested in. I'm not interested in him, and I think he knows that in order for him to make money, he has to fight people, or his audience is going to be people who are interested in him. He has to find people who are his fans are going to be interested in seeing him fight, and other people who aren't his fans are like me and like you who don't know him. I mean, I probably know him more than you know him, would be interested to see the other fighter. He's not fighting boxers. Which, I mean,
no.
You're a YouTube celebrity star. I mean, I guess he was on Nickelodeon or Disney Channel first. Apparently, he was a hell of a college, high school athlete, too. Yeah. Apparently, he was a hell of a high school athlete. And you're boxing, and you're fighting people who don't box. I understand you're fighting people who fight, but you're boxing people who don't box. So, I mean, it's just a celebrity boxing match, and that's not going to really – that's not going to really garner my attention unless it's a celebrity who I'm interested in seeing. And he ain't fighting nobody I'm interested in seeing fight.
But we like the celebrity boxer from MTV, didn't we? We were surprised when Sticky Fingers got beat up by that white boy, but we watched it.
I mean, it's got to be somebody who has interest. It got to be somebody who's under the interest in. I mean, I ain't watched Lamar Odom and whoever fight. I watch when then these Love and Basketball people be having fights. I don't care about that or whatever they got going on. It's got to be somebody who has my interest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the thing about this. It's one of those things where am I going to see the technically the best fighters, the best boxers box? No. But the people he's picking, like, they're going to fight. Like, it ain't going to be no dancing. It ain't going to be a lot of defense. It ain't going to be a lot of bobbing and weaving. They're both going to make a lot of mistakes, and those mistakes means getting hit. And it's entertaining. And I got to give them his props on it. They're entertaining fights.
It's like are they, though? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they be hitting each other. Like, this ain't – like, okay, when it comes to the scorecard, like, who was actually winning, I have no idea, right? I think Anderson Silva won most of those rounds, but, you know, who am I to judge? But the fight was entertaining. Like, they were hitting each other in the face. You know, they were missing blocks. Because they're not good boxers. So that means, like, people were getting caught. Like, the greatest thing about Mayweather is he would never get caught slipping. And the one time he caught the other dude slipping, we thought it may or may not be a cheap shot until he said the words, protect yourself at all times, and realized it really wasn't a cheap shot. He hadn't right. Logan Paul and Woodley and Silva and Woodley again, like, they get caught slipping. And it's entertaining to see these dudes get punched in the face. But, you know, to each his own. No point in discussing that. Hey, man, before we get out of here, we only got about 15 minutes left. We got to discuss the terribly tragic news of Takeoff passing in Houston. Sure, everybody got the news already that, you know, there was alleged to everything, because I don't really know, but there was a party in a bowling alley somewhere in Houston, and I guess after the party, people started gambling. One thing led to another. People started shooting, and Takeoff was fatally shot once in the head and once in the torso. And police confirmed that it was a lot of confusion in the very early morning because a lot of people confirmed that he was dead. People were thinking that he was part of it, and then they were saying that he wasn't part of it. Quavo was part of the thing, and then, you know, he had gotten up just to see what was going on, and his own person shot him, and then somebody else shot him, and none of us really know. But he was 28 years old, and by all reports that I see, he was just the quietest, nicest guy in the room. And because he got up to see what was going on with his people, he ended up passing, man. And it's just a shame. I don't know if he has any kids. I don't know if he's married. I know Cardi B is married to one of them. I wasn't sure if she was married to him. But it's just a shame, man. And I'm not a big fan of the Migos music. You know, they were pretty popular. You know, they were definitely popular enough where they caught my ear. I like the Stir Fry joint. But New York, you can probably speak to it more because, you know, you're a little bit younger than us. And the impact and how this affected you and, you know, what you thought about the news.
No, it's just like when Migos came out, I wasn't really big on them either. I knew that they had hits, like, coming out, like, radio hits. They like, you know, I mean, if you listen to the radio in comparison to the underground stuff, they definitely had hits on the radio. They changed the cadence of the sound of what rap was back then when they came in the game. They introduced a new flow to the rap game. And it's just so sad. It's just so sad because I look at the shit like that, right? Because I'm 29, he's 28. In a sense like that. That for him to have that such talent, that fan base around him, not only that, him and his uncle literally just dropped the whole album together in the midst of everything that's going on within in the business of that group. They literally just dropped that album. And for him to meet his demise like that is just so crazy to me. It's just so crazy. Like it's wild, and I can't even wrap my head around it because I literally woke up to that news. I literally as soon as I pick up my phone, check my Instagram, check my text messages. Oh, Takeoff dead. That shit is wild. That shit is really wild to me. Like, I can't fathom that. I still can't wrap my head around it that he really gone for real. Like, that's just wild. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't even have the words to even speak about it because it's kind of hard to process. But, like, you know, when you get in shock and you be listening to people, stuff like that, rappers or even you look at your favorite actors and stuff like that. And then you wake up, and then there's news reports of them being gone. It's just so crazy. And then not only is the fact of that, there's video evidence of just of it showing the happening, of the actual shooting and everything like that. It's crazy. It's a crazy world out here, for real, for real.
I didn't really see it. I turned it off. I'm not big on the watching these people die anymore. I didn't know there was video of the actual shooting. I know there was video of him laying down after he had already transitioned. But I didn't see I didn't start looking for it either. I didn't see that there was video of the actual shooting. So, Blur, what'd you think about it, man?
Yeah, man, this is sad. And unfortunately, it kind of goes in a lot with the whole Kanye West thing, and you know what's good with our people, like how can we come and be better for ourselves, and it's sad, it really is sad, because again, I saw a bunch of reports, I saw a bunch of videos, I didn't watch a video of him, like the whole thing, but I saw videos, it's funny how everything is always being recorded. I saw videos of what happened right before, I saw videos of what happened right after, I saw a bunch of interviews and people talking about, like, a chick who was standing right next to him, other people who was there. Like, yeah, man, just innocent bystander for all intents and purposes, being that he wasn't directly involved in the argument or whatever. And then everything that happened afterward, when I guess, like, they saying it was nothing anybody could do anyway. It was just people just, like, looking and recording and stepping over him. Like, it's sad, man. I mean, it's sad for anybody, not alone just somebody, a celebrity or a rapper. I mean, I understand, like, he had a higher opportunity, I guess, to do more because he had money and he had influence than the regular person, but that's sad for that to happen to anybody.
Yeah, it's always tough, man. I try to just look deeper in these situations, and it's always tough when you have, and I'm not accusing Quavo of this, I'm not really... They've got enough tragedy. I'm not trying to put anything on that family and that fan base. Just, like, you've been in situations, and again, it's off them. This is just, you know, just thinking about life in general. Like, you've been in situations where, like, I know me personally. Like, I've been blessed enough where I have the size and strength. I've been in enough tussles. I know how to fight. But I'm an extremely nice guy. Like, I never feel like, and being intelligent, and this is what, you know, I guess that, you know, when you have that confidence in your abilities and you have that arrogance about yourself, like, being an intelligent person, like, it's always easier for me to be able to avoid fights because I can always outthink, outsmart, or just get people off. Whatever vibe they want to be on, I can shift them to something else so that I ain't got to worry about fighting. But it's always been, like, I've always had one or two friends that every time we get out, they get into some shit. Like, it's always them, and it's just like, yo, I love them. They're family. They're my boys. You know, so what you going to do? You going to tussle. Shit pop off, you got to pop off with it. But it's like, damn, yo, like, I don't want to say it, but, like, it always sucks when you hear that it happens to the person who always just chilling, but just wants to be there for their friend. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know what I mean? And again, this ain't about the Migos. It's just thinking about in general just how crazy life is. Like, you got to get to the point in your life where, and I've had to do this to some of my friends. Like, we go out and, like, all do high school, college, you ride for your boys. If there's a problem, it's whatever. And then you get to the point in your old age and you tell your boy, like, yo, like, hey, you starting to act up, yo. Like, not even you start to act up, but you just try to be a good friend. He's like, all right, yo, let's get out of here. You're like, nah, fuck that. They got to do this, 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 and this. He's like, yo, man, let's just be out. But, yo, you just going to get out here, you going to bitch up and just leave? And then you got to get to the point where you're an adult and just like, yeah, yo, I'm out. Like, you can roll with me and we can get out of this situation nice and clean. Or you can do what you want to do. But I'm out. And it's a shame that, you know, things got to happen like that. But, you know, yeah, I wish, you know, sometimes you just wish, you know, because it probably would have happened to somebody else. But, like, you know, sometimes you wish that, yo, you just would have said, yo, I'm out. Or you just don't get up. Like, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to tussle, go ahead and tussle and accept whatever consequences come with it. But it's a shame because 28, that's a grown-ass man. You're damn near 30. But for all of us that's 40-plus, like, that's still really young. Like New York said, I always call. I just called and checked up on you today. Just because I heard from you a couple days, I just wanted to make sure you was okay. Because I still look at you as one of my young boys, but you're a grown-ass man. You got a full-time job. But I know how I still remember what it felt like being under 30 when you had some money in your pocket. Your knees still felt good. You were still able to move in and out of these streets, but you was able to do it a little more cleaner now because you're a little older, you're a little wiser, you got some money in your pocket. Like, at this point, life is coming at you because now, like, you the shit. Like you thought you was the shit when you was younger. But now that you got money to move around, you really can make moves. So, you know, to hear that he was 28 and then he's a millionaire. And he ain't want no problems with somebody. And then, you know, he gets shot and passes. And it's just like, yo, 28's young, yo. Like, I didn't even have a kid till I was in my 30s. And it's just, you know, I mean, I don't want to end on a sour note, but for the people that's listening out there, I never put the blame on, yo, it's always all people, it's always black people. Nah, this shit happens to white people. I've seen white people on crack. Seen white people on meth. This shit happens to everybody. But you just hope that people understand, like, you ain't always got to be the toughest person in the room. Like, you never, like, if you learn to outsmart people, like, it's a real easy life. If you learn how to outsmart people and use your brain, you get in and out of situations real, real clean and feeling real good about yourself. But that's how we're going to end it, man. Rest in peace to that young man. Prayers to his family, his friends, his fans. Again, I'm not the biggest fan. My son was upset when I told him because my son's a fan of the Migos. So, you know, just be careful out there. Head on a swivel. If you're gonna gamble, prepare yourself to lose. Be okay with losing. It's okay. Losses don't define us. It's the thing that drives us. And on that note, New York, New York, we're gonna tap out, man. It's been a good show. I was glad to hear your voice earlier. No homo. I was just glad to make sure you was alive because usually I hear from you every week or two. But I heard from you a couple of weeks. I was glad to hear that you was alive. So we're going to call it like that as a show. Blur had to hop off. He had to get on the subway, so he ain't got no service. They ain't got no antennas in St. Louis. So we're going to call it tonight, man. It's been a good show. Pray for my family. Pray that my kid don't throw up tonight because I'm going to have to wake up in the middle of the night and clean it. And we're going to get out here until next week. Hopefully next week we're back on and everyone's sound and healthy. Well, welcome to November. By the time you join us next week, we'll be 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. This shit's crazy. New York, New York, you want to take us out, my brother?
Most definitely. I'm definitely looking forward to Thanksgiving. And we're going to keep it short and simple tonight, y'all. I mean, health as well. Make sure you protect yourself. It's getting into the colder months, y'all. You know I mean, you might come down with the flu. You might come down with the cold. Hopefully, it's not COVID. Protect yourself, y'all. You know I mean, keep that hand sanitizer. Don't touch your face. Always wash your hands. Other than that, y'all. You know I mean, de-escalate situations. Everything don't have to be a gunfight. Everything don't have to be a fist fight. You know what I mean, everything don't even have to be an argument. Just keep that common ground. In a situation, have that understanding between yourself, your brothers, or whoever it is. You know what I mean? Just come with peace and anything like that. Other than that, you know what I mean? Just have a good night. Stay safe, people. You know what I mean? We're coming up on our holidays, Thanksgiving, about giving. You know what I mean? We're coming about Christmas. You know what I mean? Still about giving and all that. But, you know what I mean? Stay safe. Stay safe.
Absolutely. Always good hearing from my brother. Blur sends his regards from the subway with the rats. Go Eagles, go Phillies. It's been a hell of a week for Houston. It's been a hell of a week for Philly. Like my man, New York, New York said, catch you next week.